From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. Washington is again ranked among the most dangerous states in the country, according to a new study. We should all flee, Spike. We should all head for the hills, obviously. Because studies are always totally accurate and are always completely indicative of exactly what's going on in this time frame. Actually, this is more so a story about why the Tacoma News Tribune probably shouldn't have put this out, to be honest with you. Okay. Also, the UW students postponed their anti-Semitic encampment for having too many white saviors. That's right. Too many white people.
White knight syndrome.
White knight syndrome.
Not diverse enough to have an encampment.
No. And then a Snohomish County woman urges safety after a Tesla on autopilot crashed and killed her fiancé. So this story in heavy quotation marks from the Tacoma News Tribune. It says Washington is ranked among the most dangerous states in the country, according to a new study. And if you scroll down, it says, according to the FBI crime report, this is really serious. Between 2020 and 2022, the rate of violent crime in the U.S. decreased from 398.5 incidents per 100,000 people to 380.7 incidents per 100,000 people, while Washington has increased from 293 to 375, an 81.9% rate increase. What are we going to do, Spike? I mean, this is chaos in the streets, am I right? What are we going to do about this data set that, hold on, let me check my watch, is 2 years old?
Thank you.
What are we going to do, Spike? I know if I'm at the Tacoma News Tribune, run it right on the presses.
Yes.
Because the headline matters more than the actual facts of the matter. I mean, what a joke. I'm not done yet.
Go, man, go.
What a complete and total, you are taking a data set that is 2 years old, and you are trying to make, okay, so but what does the most recent one say, right?
Yeah.
What is the most recent data? Like, if I took data from, oh, I don't know, the early 1900s in the United States, there would be a lot of people riding around on horses.
Right.
Horses, number one mode of transportation in the United States. And now what do we see
manure,
now?
Manure, a growing problem in city sewer systems, right? You know the number you got to worry about in this study?
What?
The circulation numbers that are down for the Tacoma News Tribune.
That's what you got
to
worry about.
That needs to run headlines like this.
Yeah, it says the study found that Washington is the eighth most dangerous state in the country 2 years ago. 224 calendar months. I mean, it's when I look at something like this, man, this is all I hear. I just hear conservative commentators latching onto this and making it seem as if this is the case now, even though crime as a whole is decreasing throughout the country. In Washington State, in some ways, it's going up, but that depends on where you live.
Which metric you look at, right.
Specifically in King County. So when we atomize it, we then see, okay, so the problem is really located to about one or two counties in the entire state. Which is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then that changes the entire kind of discourse that we have, which is what's going on in our mega metropolises, which is causing rates of crime to peak and go up. Is it mental health access? Is it lack of police? Then we can actually have an adult conversation. But instead, what we get from the Tacoma News Tribune is this garbage.
Fear-mongering.
Yep. It says, of those offensive, Washington has the highest larceny and theft rates compared to other states. According to the study, the state has a larceny theft rate of 2,133 per 100,000 residents. That's bad. Where, right? Like localized,
yep.
Where?
And when,
right?
You taught me something that's so helpful with this particular story in particular is the headline behind the headline.
They're
talking about the larceny and theft increases in the calendar years 2020 to 2022, right?
Yep.
So we're talking about when, first off,
COVID.
COVID, which, and by the way, the reason that COVID went nuts or crime went nuts during COVID,
yeah,
is because various elements of crime prevention were eliminated. Things like social work within communities. Things like there were police officers taken off the streets because whether they became sick with COVID or they couldn't make calls because of COVID or they were forced out of their jobs because of vaccine mandates.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these numbers increased across the country in 2020 and 2021 in particular, right? But talk about the theft and larceny numbers that they cite as the biggest gains for Washington State that puts us in the danger zone.
Yeah.
And what has happened since 2022? Reelections of city council, reevaluations of police tactics.
More funding for police.
All the things, the ability when the ballot does fall, whether or not you can actually chase a criminal if it's not just a property crime.
Yeah.
So we're doing all, this is the indicator warning that we had 2 years ago that taught us to look at who we vote for.
Yeah.
Look at how our police are allowed to do their job. So that's the good news is they show us what happened in 2022. And if you look at what's going on in today's Seattle and King County and Pierce County, changes have been put into place. There's a different police chief than there was in 2022.
Well, let me give you another
way, things have changed.
Let me give you another way of interpreting this data. I read a headline about a week ago, and it said Oahu, the biggest island in Hawaii, is experiencing severe drought. Right, bottled water is going to be necessary.
Okay.
I think it was an NBC CNN article, something like that. And so I click the hyperlink to the actual study. And when they say severe drought, did you know that there are some places on Oahu that get 20 inches of rain per year, and there are other places on Oahu that get 400 inches of rain per year? So when you think about it, that's a pretty wide set of data to try to analyze. Being where you are on the island determines the amount of rainwater that you get. But CNN or CBS, whoever ran the article, didn't bother to say disparate rain across island causes some portions of it to be in drought. They just said full on drought across the entire island. And that is how data can be manipulated for headlines. And it's really quite very gross.
And
right?
It might hurt a tourist industry that I don't want to go to Hawaii. There's no water.
I want to go to Hawaii.
You go to the wayward side. There's 400 inches falling every year.
Activists with the UW Progressive Student Union announced that they are postponing Thursday's UW Palestine encampment because there are too many white students involved. Yeah, the group received criticism for not including Muslim and Arab students in the organizing and is now... You're going to get warring factions of extremists quibbling over who gets credit for demonizing Jews in Israel,
well,
according to Jason Rance.
Thank you.
According to Mr. Rance there. But this is something that I experienced on my college campus at UCSC when I was in college.
Really?
There was a protest that was going on my campus about something. I don't remember what it was, but basically you had about 300 or 400 people that were meeting in the quarry, which is where everybody went to go protest against capitalism.
Okay.
And there's a group of white students there, and the person who was officiating, I'm assuming, said protest, said all the white people needed to stand in front of all the BIPOC people because they had to be a barrier between the BIPOC people and the campus police. Now, keep in mind, UCSC has a campus police presence of about, ballpark 6 officers at any given time.
Okay.
So they're not exactly, the Gestapo is going to come and, you know, with their boots and start stepping on everybody.
They're mounted on bikes? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Scooters.
It's also Santa Cruz cops. So they're like, hey, can I get a hit off of that? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like they got full sleeve tattoos and dreadlocks. And they're like, yeah, Burning Spear is the best. Hey, you guys want to hold my gun? Like, they're UCSC cops.
Okay.
But they did that because it's basically this bizarre form of virtue signaling where if you're a white person in the presence of advocating for minority communities, you are in some way, shape, or form a burden or you're diluting the message. Which is maybe one of the worst forms of racism I've seen in contemporary society. It is truly awful to see what this level of extremism has done to these kids.
It's not a matter of, maybe it is a matter of the demographic breakdown of the UW campus.
Saying that mostly white kids go to college, Spike? Is that what you're saying?
This particular college, I'll say. You know, this is a very expensive and exclusive university. And I'm not saying there aren't communities of color at the UW.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just when you get the Progressive Students Union or whatever group this is. I believe that's the group it is. Maybe they're not doing a good enough job recruiting because this didn't just happen because of October 7th. This is an organization that's been on campus and they haven't done an effective enough job to bring in BIPOC students into their cause. So when it comes time to have an encampment.
If that BIPOC student was pro-Israel, they wouldn't be welcome. You understand what I'm saying here?
Okay.
This is another form of racism, unfortunately, where if you're not the right kind of advocate, whether or not whatever your skin color is or whatever your ethnicity is, you are not included. Nora, did you go to UW? Were you a UWer?
I'm a Husky.
A Husky. Yeah. There you go. Did you experience this at your college? You're a progressive young lady.
Like the protests?
Did you experience any, as a white woman, you need to be elsewhere, or were you included within the protests?
I don't think I experienced too much, not lack of inclusivity, but I do think the campus is kind of largely a white campus.
And okay.
So, yeah, there's like the caveat of what that means.
Yeah, I mean, there's just this thing that's happened on college campuses. It's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse, where we used to think that your ethnicity or whatever it is contributed nothing to the kind of person that you were. We didn't essentialize it, is the clinical term for that.
Okay.
It's not essential to your being, right? So previously, like, the thought was that if you were of a certain skin color, that you were lazy, right? Or that if you were of a certain ethnicity, that you were lazy. Like, Irish need not apply, right?
Right, of course.
But now we realize that when we essentialize character qualities to ethnicity or to skin color, that is indeed what we call racism. And now what you see is a bunch of kids on college campuses engaging in the same kind of old-timey racism by saying that if you're a white person, that you are in some way, shape, or form diluting or not contributing to the overall message or harming the message of peace.
Are you crowding out the cultural experience and
Walk me through that logic, Spike, if you can. Walk me through that, crowding out the cultural experience.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about communities of color, right, that's bad that they bring different experiences and different cultural experiences, life experiences, into a mix,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have a gaggle of white kids.
Mm-hmm.
Are they crowding out those points of view? Is this an optics issue?
How are white children different in culture from BIPOC children?
How are they different in culture?
Yeah.
Oh, let me count the ways.
Tell me.
Okay. Well, communities of color,
mm-hmm.
whether they be American communities of color, black or brown, or foreign student communities of color
mm-hmm.
from overseas, they have different experiences, whether it be from the dynamic of your household or the opportunities of employment for your parents or your siblings.
Well, so you're saying that white people don't experience poverty?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there's a disproportionate experience of that among communities of color. I don't think that's a far-reaching thing.
White people don't experience workplace discrimination or job place discrimination.
Not to the degree of communities of color.
Okay, and so because of the disparity in degrees, you're saying that one ethnicity would understand that better than another ethnicity just because of the disparity in the rate at which it happens.
I think so. Yeah, that's a fair thing to say.
Okay, so another way to contextualize that is that if there is a difference in the rates between white people and black people in terms of college admission,
mm-hmm.
that is somehow essentialized to their being or their core, meaning that white people have a better understanding of how to get into college than black people?
The doors are opened, maybe through legacy or for financial opportunity.
I just don't see it. Like, the idea that I can't communicate or empathize or connect with somebody of a different culture and then be present to that and listen to that and be completely present for that, I think is part of this new world racism that people engage in. When we say that because of my lived experience, I somehow have more qualities to speak about a particular topic, that's unfair, right? I would not hold anybody to that standard, because what you're basically doing is you're gatekeeping and shutting people out. It's not a way of being inclusive. It's actually the opposite. It's a way of being exclusionary. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense to me. You're talking about, because this is the root of DEI, right?
No.
Diversity, equity, inclusion.
No, that's not the root of DEI.
Maybe I'm not expressing myself correctly then.
Okay.
Because for me, including marginalized communities into a conversation that's the essence of DEI.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not talking about, this is exclusionary, right? White kids are not allowed at our protest. That's exclusionary,
That doesn't say they're not allowed, but they're the numbers of white kids who are at this protest. This was canceled for optics, right? It looked bad that there was all.
And is that not a form of racism?
That is.
Right.
I'm not saying that this.
And so they are basically saying that the essential quality of being white dilutes our ability to hold an effectively optic.
We are on the same page.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And you're right. That is racism.
Exactly.
I get you.
Right. So, this is the thing that Malcolm X, towards the end of his life, realized that he had gotten wrong. Because for so many years of his life as a revolutionary, he was saying the best way for a white person to help me is to get out of my way. Right? He said it often.
Right.
And then towards the end of his life, in the latter 2 years of his life, he realized that he had been wrong about that. And so he was saying, I actually need to work with people who want to create a better society. It was really quite very beautiful before he was horrifically assassinated. Point being is that civil rights leaders understood that this was not the way to make things happen in the United States. These kids have forgotten about that, and it's really quite very sad, I think. Snohomish County woman is urging safety changes after Tesla on autopilot crashed and killed her fiancé. Have you read any of these incidents about these autopilot deaths?
Yeah, and there are
dozens of them.
Yeah, coast to coast. Everywhere Teslas run, people who trust autopilots shouldn't be trusting autopilots. This guy died on, was it 522? The car doesn't pay attention, and people shouldn't be putting a car on autopilot. I don't know why. I mean, if you want parking assistance in your car, great. You know, you want a car to tell you while you're driving, I think you're driving ought to be paramount to being in a car, tell you when you're drifting out of your lane, cool. But it shouldn't take the wheel out of your hand so you can flip through your phone or eat a bowl of Cheerios, put on makeup, whatever you're doing. And a car will autopilot is on.
I read a post from a guy who had been fired from Tesla, who said that he found out that he was fired from Tesla when he was driving to work and he was checking his emails while on autopilot. And he was saying that as if he was saying that as if it was like a point of pride or something like that. Like, right. I check my emails on my commute to work, and I thought, you know, man, the autopilot feature has killed a couple dozen people in the United States. I feel like maybe you being working at the company might want to let people know. Maybe don't be doing that when you're going 65 miles per hour as you commute to work.
If you're a Tesla employee, are you supposed to lead by example and trust the autopilot?
I would think so.
Tesla. You're supposed to be checking emails. That's right. What Tesla employees do. Didn't they like practice these in closed campus environments around the Tesla in campus? That's where they did the preliminary like bus rides that were on autopilot, because if they were not getting their own people while these things miss or malfunction, there are people. We can cover this out, or we can take care of this in-house.
Harvey Weinstein had his conviction overturned by a New York appeals court. Now, it was a 4-3 decision, and I read the decision because I'm a masochist, and I choose to waste my time reading poor court decisions. But I actually think this decision was the appropriate one in terms of the way that we administer justice. I'm not saying that the man is innocent.
Okay.
He's not innocent in L.A. County. I'll tell you that much, because he got 16 years in L.A. County.
Gotcha.
But in this instance, it seems as if there was a decent amount of prosecutorial prejudice that may have led to Harvey Weinstein's conviction being overturned.
Yeah.
Very tricky stuff. We'll talk about it with Mr. Sunshine when we get back right after this. Yes, it's time for our liberal coastal elite correspondent, Mr. Billy Sunshine, a man who causes me so much internal pain and suffering that every single Tuesday and Thursday we have a competition to see if we can finally vote him off the show. You can text in whether we should do that at 888-973-5476. Nora will be tallying your responses as to whether or not we should keep or fire Mr. Sunshine. Bienvenido, Senor Sunshine. How are you?
Hola, ¿qué tal, Jack?
I am well as well. So this Harvey Weinstein thing, apparently he's doing pretty well as well today, because his 2020 conviction was overturned by the appellate court. That is seven judges in total in New York. You got four who were in favor, three who were against. And the long and the short of it, after I wasted my life, Billy, reading this information, is that they felt as if the prosecutor brought forth witnesses that were not alleging crimes, but were alleging behaviors which tainted the perception of the jury insofar as for that to be inappropriate in a judicial setting. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes total sense, but, you know, they're only not crimes because in America we treat the women who do bring these charges so badly that these women didn't choose to use the judicial system.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point.
And, you know, think about it. There was a trial. Then there was an appeal, and that appeal said, no, we're happy with the trial. So now the highest court, the highest appeal in New York State, gets this argument, and it's 4-3. So they don't agree unanimously or even strongly that this was a bad trial.
Correct.
I don't think this should happen. However, you know, look, so many things in America are challenged, and all the institutions that we believed in, Congress, the presidency, even the Supreme Court, it doesn't look like a place where we can trust. But I got to say, the courtroom of America I still think is one of the most fair places here. And, you know, even this argument, the idea that these, look, we do bring in people to testify about prior behavior all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was legitimate. And it looks to me that this is just another opportunity for America and the paternalistic country that we've become to disqualify women and their opinions. So many women have testified.
Strong language here from Billy. Gee, Billy,
I'm telling you, this is hot.
No, I'm just, Billy, the I understand that you're frustrated. I understand that you're frustrated with the system, but I would also say, though, that my analysis of this is that you could say that it was a close determination or whatever it is, but this sets, I think, a fair precedent when we're trying to analyze criminal convictions over bad behavior.
Exactly. This wasn't about what kind of guy he is, it's about whether or not he did this particular crime to this particular woman.
Right. So this is about keeping prosecutors in check. I personally think Harvey Weinstein should be in prison for the rest of his natural life.
And he will be.
He will be.
Jack.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
He's got another 16 years in California.
Well,
so
on the clock, but I don't know if that body is going to hold 16 years. Just saying.
So, I mean, I know that people feel as if they are being let down in some way, shape, or form, but it's not exactly like he's getting out of jail today. Do you know what I mean? Like there's still going to be Alvin Bragg now has to determine whether or not he's going to bring another set of charges and retry the trial against Harvey Weinstein, which is not good for Harvey Weinstein, given that Alvin Bragg's got all that sweet Biden money that he's just going to be charging everybody. It's the Biden DOJ going after the Weinsteins. I can't believe it.
You're making Billy's point.
Jack, the idea that we can't allow all the information available to a jury to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Why the court is a safe investigative place to learn about people's past behavior. I disagree that we shouldn't be allowed to bring in all these other women who've had experience with this guy and hear their testimony.
So, but let's get right down to the brass tacks of it, Billy. I mean, in the document, it says that the testimony that was brought forth about his behavior, but not alleging a crime, quote, is pure propensity evidence and is inadmissible. I think that that's a fair standard to have, being that if you're not actually alleging a crime, but you are simply showcasing poor behavior based on your own, subjective interpretation of it, I think that that's not a good standard for us to have as Americans, being that the judicial system should be based around crime, not around this person made me feel uncomfortable or whatever it is.
How are you supposed to understand the character of a person if they, A, by the way, you know, this Harvey, like Trump, did not testify in his own behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he knows his own guilt and was afraid. I really believe that all information should be available. That's all I'm saying. Well, and that allow the court to explore these things.
Well, that's why there's a civil trial and there's a criminal trial.
Yeah.
In a civil trial, what you're talking about, the propensity of evidence and what kind of guy is this, those things are allowed. That's why you don't have to have a unanimous decision in a civil trial. And maybe if Bragg doesn't decide to bring criminal charges, these women who didn't charge Weinstein, and I'm not sure if that window of the statute of limitation window that opened.
No, they changed it in California and New York.
Yeah.
So it's wide open.
Maybe that's an avenue for these women who didn't pursue. And Bill, you're right. It's hard for a victim to come forward in this system. And maybe that's evolved. Maybe after the Me Too movement is led by Captain Weinstein here, maybe women are in a safer and more supported place moving forward.
I'll give you another quote really quick.
You know, redoing a trial like this re-traumatizes these victims.
That's also true.
And I would agree with you, Billy, but this is the another piece from what the judges wrote in their decision. It says, the labeled the allegations appalling, shameful, repulsive conduct, meaning against Weinstein.
Right.
They agreed that it was very bad. However, they said, destroying a defendant's character under the guise of a prosecutorial need is unnecessary and did not justify some trial evidence and testimony.
Revealing is the word, not destroying. Revealing,
right? But that's it, that at that point in time, Billy. It's not exact. I understand that it's a testimony, but it did not add or detract from the case, except for to attack his character. Does that make sense? They didn't witness.
It makes total sense. I think character needs to be revealed, and when it's poor, attacked.
Yeah, but Billy, if character was involved in court cases, you'd be guilty of everything you've ever done in
you
your life.
You and me both, buddy.
And you would be put in prison for the rest of your life, Billy. I mean, you would get a ticket for jaywalking.
Let me just say this before I go. Audience, if you love Jack, vote me off the island.
No, don't say that.
Nora, what's the tally today for Billy? Are we keeping Billy or are we sending Billy away today?
The people have voted to keep him.
No! Yeah. Dang it,
why? Resounding success.
Was it a 4-3 split decision, much like that other case? Or was there
sort of, yeah. Okay, the majority was to keep.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Based on Billy's character, I'm overruling that decision, and I'm...
Exactly!
Thank you, Mr. Sunshine. We appreciate it. We all love you so very much. Despite the fact that you're a nuisance, and despite the fact that you cause nothing but pain and suffering wherever it is that you go. The Painful Truth campaign encourages non-opioid solutions for pain relief. Spike, did you know that despite the fact that I was a drug addict, I did suffer from chronic pain at the same time?
Yeah, I did, and I'm interested on your take on this story, because you've kind of lived this.
I lived this very thing, and I can tell you that there's a lot of things that you can do if you do suffer from chronic pain that seem like woo-woo nonsense, but are actually amazing techniques for alleviating pain. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this. If there's one song that's going to make me start using drugs again, Andrew, it's SR-71, my friend. What are you doing to me? Jeez, man. What is this?
He's testing
you. I love this song.
Right.
Come on.
This is objectively one of the worst pop punk songs ever written.
But it's a good bumper, though.
No, it's not, because it makes me want to do drugs so I can try to forget that it exists, except for the high harmonies. These are sick.
So you're singing to it, Jack. Come on. You're singing to it.
Yeah, because when I was 12, I was like, oh, this is a good song. And then when I was 12 and 2 weeks, I said, this is trash.
This is so beneath me.
All right. So drugs. Drugs are fun. No, that's a joke. So there's a Painful Truth campaign, which is started by Mothers Against Prescription Drug Abuse, which is an organization that was formed by a group of moms who lost their kids to opioid addiction.
Yep.
And so they launched this campaign called The Painful Truth. And basically the idea is, how do we encourage people to use pain relief that's not opiate-based? Because all too often in the United States, you twist an ankle and you go to the emergency room and they go, here's 30 Loratabs, and then you're having a grand old time. Am I right or am I right? Yes!
And there's often, there's valid reasons to prescribe painkillers.
Yeah!
But as a society, we want a fast solution to every problem we have, pop a pill, no matter what it is.
Right. And so I used to suffer from pretty severe chronic pain because I was immobile. I just didn't move a whole lot because of the drugs. So my lower back was constantly in pain.
Sure. Yeah.
My knees were constantly in pain. I was in a lot of discomfort, and so one of the things that I started to do when I got off of drugs was, how do I deal with this? And what you find all too often is that the solution to pain or chronic pain is motion.
Okay.
Moving.
That makes sense, because your body's designed to not have pharmaceuticals.
Right. So motion is lotion is generally the idea that's held with a lot of yogis. So if you're feeling kind of tight or whatever it is, there's a lot of really basic stretches that people can do to alleviate pain. But because Americans aren't too interested in that, they don't, you know, sitting in a certain position or putting your arm in a certain position for 30 seconds is a bridge too far.
I felt it some days.
So, but then there's other ways to deal with chronic pain that I found to work really, really well for me personally. So like CBD products is an example.
Okay, yes.
Is the cannabis derivative that has no psychotropic properties to
it's
it.
It's all the anti-inflammatory benefits,
I still use it to this day. I use the little gummies. And I used to think that it was like woo-woo nonsense, but I was totally wrong about that. They work famously. They say, you know, you hear the RICE method. Rest, ice, compress.
Oh, okay.
Compress, elevate. That's actually wrong.
Rest, ice, compression, elevate.
Yeah, that's called the RICE method.
Yeah, I've been prescribed that.
The guy who developed that method came out with a study about a decade later that said, I actually think that this is wrong. And then he said, I think that mobility is actually the best thing that you can do. So if you tweak your ankle, he's not talking about going out and doing
He's
not talking about doing Lord of the Dance, but he was saying that, let's say you have a sprained ankle, right?
Yeah.
He says, well, if you just articulate the ankle in the range at which it's comfortable for you, you're actually sending blood and oxygen to the actual injury.
For recovery. Yeah, okay.
So, you know, there's the problem I think that a lot of people have with pain is that we just don't deal with it well as human beings. We have a very difficult time with it. But there is a psychological component to it as well, which is our distress tolerance, I think, has dropped so much because we don't experience physical pain on a regular basis. You know what I mean?
Very true.
So we don't, a lot of people don't lift things a lot. A lot like this morning, I was trying to do side splits. That's a lot of physical pain for a gentleman to be in, right?
Side splits?
Side splits, yeah.
Could you define, because I'm...
Nora, side splits, you want to tell everybody what that looks like?
Is that the when you have one leg in front and one leg back and then you do the splits, or is that the middle?
That's the middle one.
It's the
side split. So it's like front splits is north-south.
Okay. Are you talking about literally just the east-west split?
Yeah, east-west okay. is what I'm working okay. up to right now. Just putting yourself in small increment, not like severe
burning
pain.
It. Right.
But a slight amount of discomfort actually raises your pain tolerance.
Well, yeah.
Right?
That so makes perfect sense.
The
yeah.
same reason why I take cold showers is because it actually raises your discomfort. It raises your ability to deal with pain.
Interesting.
Right.
So well, it's just such a pampered culture. We don't want to experience any inconvenience.
Right, exactly.
Any waiting, any pain.
So there are ways around it, and I would encourage anybody to look into any kind of yoga programs or anything that is not pharmaceutically based when it comes to pain relief, because there's a lot of things you can do just to mitigate it without actually having to be, you know, doped up out of your mind.
And recovering addicts have to find these alternatives to pain solutions.
Yeah, did I tell you? I told you yesterday about the time that I think I had been off of opiates for like 5 years or whatever, and then I had some dental work done.
You told me about this.
And I took a half of a Vicodin, yeah. and I was like out for the day.
Because your tolerance had disappeared.
I was like, this is miserable. I'm never doing this trash
but
again.
I'm glad this article came out. There are ways to get around pain or manage pain.
Indeed.
So even stay in front of pain without turning to opiates.
Grand jury indicts fake electors again in Arizona. It was previously
news.
There was one in Michigan.
Five states now.
Yep. Now you got a bunch of boomers in Arizona who are having a bad time, including Rudy Giuliani, by the way.
And Mark Meadows.
And,
a lot of guys.
Juvenile detention in King County. Many youth face long stays in a facility designed for short-term support. This is why this program doesn't work. We'll talk about it, though. A senior Democrat is calling for the arrests of left-wing fascists urging a Gaza ceasefire. They're kids.
Well, and I want to help our own Washington's own Adam Smith.
Yeah.
I'd like to help with some basic definitions.
Yeah, let's talk.
I don't think he's getting it.
Let's talk about it when we get back right after this.